Good morning, everyone. Every time I say that, whenever I'm saying that to people, you're old enough, you remember this. Remember Miss Jane with her little mirror that didn't have anything in it? And she'd say, good morning, all you kids. And she'd say names, and because I can see you in the mirror. I can remember that. Why do I remember that? Must have been something that I like. All right. Now that that's done, I can turn this on. This is Memorial Day weekend, right? I knew that. We celebrate people who have gone before us and given their lives to protect us. And there's been tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And we respect that, and we should. But the other thing that I always think about at Memorial Day is the ultimate warrior that went to battle against the ultimate enemy. And in the world's eyes, he lost the fight because he ended up on a cross and he died. But because of that death, he rose again and won the victory. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody at any ceremony ever talk about that. But what a warrior. He is the general and admiral of all generals and admirals. Nobody controlled him. He controlled it all. To the point of death, but resurrection. Praise God. Just my thought. Who is Obadiah? You see in your notes. In total, there are 13 Obadiahs referenced in the Old Testament. 13. Now, the big question is, which one wrote Obadiah? Anybody have an answer? Nobody knows. You can go down through all the 13 Obadiahs because their name, the Hebrew name Obadiah, means worshiper or servant of Yahweh. And each one of the Obadiahs were godly people. So we really don't know which one wrote it. There's some guesses, but it really doesn't make any difference because even the scholars can't be sure who wrote the book. But no matter which one it was, God spoke to and through him. If you get an opportunity, and I'm not going to read it today, but it is very interesting to compare the book of Obadiah with Jeremiah 49, verses 7 through 22. Man, these are paralleled. They are so much alike. And that, in all the scholars' thoughts and processes that they studied, says that when Jeremiah wrote 49, 7 through 22, he already had Obadiah in front of him, the book, the writing. So, could call it plagiarism maybe, but he repeated God's words through Obadiah. So, it's just if you get a chance to do that, go through that and read that. And in context, read Obadiah. There's a remarkable similarity. You're going to be amazed that Jeremiah and this prophetic message when he wrote those verses. After all, prophets could be trusted. What was the true test of a prophet? Somebody, you guys.
If what they said actually transpired.
All right. When it happened, when they gave a prophetic message, And it actually happened. And some prophets gave messages that didn't happen for years. But most of the prophets' messages in that day, they could prophesy something and be alive to see it happen. And that was the test of a true prophet. What happens if they were ever wrong? They're not a true prophet if they were ever wrong. So, Steve, when you go out and tell people this is what God says and you're wrong, you're not a prophet, right? That's the test of a prophet. Any one of us, can we claim to be prophets? We can't. But Obadiah is a true prophet. I don't know how many of you knew this, but the book of Obadiah, 21 verses, the shortest book in the Old Testament. Who is the subject of the prophecy of God through Obadiah? What is the subject of that? The vision, let's read verse 1. The vision of Obadiah is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. So the subject is Edom. When I look at Edom and say, what was Edom? What was that?
Esau.
It's easy to remember because Esau and Edom. And who was Esau? Well, let's take a look here. Due to their total hatred of Israel, God says they will be totally destroyed. Now, right away I say to myself, the people or descendants of Esau and the Edomites didn't get totally destroyed. So why did God say that? Well, as we go through here, it's going to open up a new light for us today. Remember, Jacob, later Israel, was the son of Isaac and the brother of Esau, which is Edom. Edom, or Esau, hated Jacob and Israel. We just studied Genesis, and we read all about this. We read this whole thing. So the timing for these minor prophets is perfect for us right now to study them because of the study we just went through in Genesis. Obadiah 1:1, again, we have heard a message from the Lord. That's coming from Obadiah, from God. Why is the word we used here? Did Obadiah have more than one person helping him write that book? No. He got the message from God and he wrote the letter. Obadiah knows that as a prophet who's never been wrong, the people trusted him because he's always been right. And they know that he represents them. He includes the readers as receiving this prophecy from God. That's why he says we. We have received this message from God. And he's writing it down for all of the we's out there. This message does not speak to Israel or to Judah. And it's abundantly clear when you read the book of Obadiah. This message directly concerns Edom or Esau. Edomites were the descendants of Esau, who was also known as Edom, most likely because he had red hair. Edom means red. And you can look back in Genesis, and it talks about that. Esau was an inhabitant of Seir, which was home to the Horites. You see that in Genesis chapter 36. We studied that. And the Horites, it's amazing to put all these names together of these groups of people. But home of the Horites was Seir. In Numbers 20, there is an account of the Israelites wanting to pass through the Edomites' land, or Edom. But they were opposed by the Edomites. Edom actually joined forces at one point with Moab and Ammon to go against Judah. But remember, God intervened and gave Judah the victory? They weren't supposed to win that. They were supposed to be annihilated. How can we win battles if everything's against us? If everything is against us, how can we win battles? It's only God. Only God. What's the verse? Let those that love the Lord hate evil, for he will guard the lives of his faithful ones. That's a key word, faithful ones. And will deliver them from the hand of the wicked, the power of Satan. That's God's promise. It seems as, I'm sorry, got ahead of myself. In AD 66 through 70, remember, before Christ, the numbers went backwards, okay? So AD 66 through 70, Edom actually joined forces with Israel to go against Rome. But they were soundly defeated, and this was the end of the Edomites, as we know them in this section of Scripture, because they still exist and exist today, but not as Edomites. This was predicted in Obadiah, as we will see. Continue with Obadiah verses 1 through 4 now. We've already read, heard the message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart, what's that word? The pride of your heart. That says something, it says a lot. Has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks, Jim, could I get you to do this? But you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like an eagle, you make your nest among the stars. From there, I will bring you down, declares the Lord. This is the city of Petra. And Petra was carved into rock. The city is thousands of feet in the air, in the hills, in the mountains. It's carved into rock. And there's only one access to this city. And you see these people walking down at the bottom there? That is a big cut through the stone, rock. And it's the only access to the city of Petra. That's the only access. And they didn't have jets or rockets or anything like that. So as a people, they felt really safe up here in their city, carved in the rock, with only one access point. Great idea. Until Orville and Wilbur. But, you know, it's just the idea that they were proud of that. Look at who we are. Look at what we have and how good we are. if we look at Obadiah as a turning point for us and understand what God says to us through here, I think the big takeaway is pride. Get rid of your pride. I'm good. You know, it just brings you down. Because what it does is it puts down your defenses. Nothing can affect me because I'm good. The city of Edom, carved in a rock up where nobody could attack them, with very little defense necessary because of that valley that they had to walk through to get there, they couldn't get to them. And that made them very, very safe, very proud. It seems as though that pride is a major problem here. God really despises the proud. We've seen that throughout Scripture. A reference to the ancient city of Petra, a fortress high in the cliffs, which gave them superior protection from enemies. It was easy to fend off an attack. The only access was a narrow canyon. God's edict of this pride, as we read, I will bring you down. Oh. I can't even imagine in my sleep or out walking through nature or wherever, sitting up on one of my decks, having God say, I will bring you down. Start to fear and tremble. This is God. This is God. I will bring you down. Verses 5 through 9. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? In other words, everything? You couldn't stop them. If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? No. You're out. No grapes. But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Wow, I was going to stop there, but I'm just... Your friends will deceive you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you won't detect it. What's that called? When people do things that you would never expect. They're being ruthless. They're being ruthless. God's being ruthless with Edom, with Esau. I guess when he says your friends will deceive and overpower you, do you ever have a friend do that? How do you feel? I mean, you feel so dejected. You feel like, why? We were friends, I thought. Just imagine how you feel when that happens. And think about Esau knowing that that's going to happen. That is going, and they won't be able to prevent it. It seems as though pride just keeps coming back. It comes back and comes back and comes back. A great example of pride going before the fall. Did you ever hear that before? Pride goes before the fall. Who was that? Archimedes? Who said that? God. God said it in Scripture. Pride goes before the fall. Is there ever a time when it doesn't? No. Because we let down our guard. We think we're invincible. And that's not true. The only one that's invincible is God, is Jesus. Verse 10. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you, Esau, will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. Now, when he says you will be destroyed forever, we still, like I said, have descendants of Esau on the earth. So he obviously didn't mean it for right then. God doesn't care about time. He obviously meant it for the future. And the future has not yet happened for that prophecy. Verses 15, well, let's just do this. 11 through 14. On the day you stood aloof, on the day, doesn't that say it all? On the day you stood aloof, stood, you're up here, nobody can touch you, you're safe, you're protected. Oh, look at us. While strangers carried off his wealth, the foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune. Who's the brother? Say it out big. Jacob. Jacob. He is the brother of Esau. Who received the blessing from the father? Jacob. So maybe Esau's just feeling, who was born first? Esau. And he was entitled, right? Dastardly dad. He blessed the second born. You think that would get under his skin? No, not just a little. Not just a little. I'm convinced more and more, and as I read through this whole, I learned so much going through this about the fact that God doesn't care if it's 0 day when he created or 80 billion years in the future. God doesn't care. He's the same God today as he was then, and he's going to be in the future. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, verse 12. You ever feel good when somebody has a bad thing happen? I used to. Well, they got it. Got what's coming. They deserve that. You know what? God helped me see the fact that he could say that about me. See you, go to hell. You get what you deserve. But he didn't. He made a way. He made a way. Should I act like Christ and consider others that same way? As tough as it is, we need to do that. Verses 11 through 14 tell us that they did absolutely nothing to help Israel. They actually rejoiced in Israel's distress, and they then took advantage of Israel. Ultimately, they joined in to bring their own violence against Israel. Who is Israel? Who was Israel? Jacob. And what was the promise? God said, you will be the descendant to who? Jesus. You're going to be the descendant to the godly people of Jesus Christ. Verses 15 through 21. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. And he's talking about not every nation on the earth here, but all the nations of the Israeli group. They will understand that when he says that. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your head. Do we have to bring about vengeance for what's taking place? Who's going to do that? You know, one of the things that I keep saying is, I see a new administration and I see people that broke the law for the last 30 years, got away with everything, and I keep saying, what is it, Terry Joe? I hope they get what they deserve. I want them to be exposed, the evil that was there. I want them to be prosecuted and convicted. And I do. That's justice. But I can't dwell on that because that brings me down. Because I told Terry Joe, I said, I don't think I'll ever see it. I don't think I'll ever see it. So where can I turn to know that true justice actually happens? God. God doesn't put it up with. I mean, he said, I will bring you down. That's God. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink. When you're satisfied, you're thirsty, you're satisfied, you drink and you drink and you drink, you say, all is well. No, it's not. Their pride goes before them. And they will be as they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And who? Jacob will possess his inheritance. This is a reference to the future. The descendants of Esau, and don't get me wrong, Muslim people, I love them. I do. I just don't like the fact that they rejected the person of Jesus Christ as God's son. And their message is nothing to do with salvation through Jesus. Nothing. And they've led multi-millions of people astray. The real interesting part is that God will do this through Israel's, Jacob's bloodline in the person of Jesus. Wow, this is God's justice. He knew. He made the plan. What I have said that I will do, what I have planned, I will bring about. That's God's word. The city of Petra will no longer protect them. How could that be? Their prior allies will trick them and turn against them. They were very proud of their wisdom and wise men. But even with all that wisdom, they will fall. What did God say? I will bring you down. And he doesn't mince words. Verse 21. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of who? Esau. And the kingdom, I love this, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. I am God. There is no one like me. I am God. There is none like me. God is in control. Think about that. In everything you do, whatever you say, remember that God is in control. Now, are there people that have lived or are living now that just struggle and struggle and struggle, but they still trust God and don't see any relief, even up until death? Are there people that get cancer? Are there people that, I mean, are lame, crippled, whatever, or blind, whatever, and they never see the justice from evil in this world even before they die? Do they exist? Yeah. But what's God's promise? I will deliver you from the hand of evil. And when will that day be? At the day of Christ's return. We will have the victory. And our general, admiral, whatever you want to call him, who won. Well, wait, he didn't win yet, did he? He's going to win on the day of judgment. Where do we want to be? Do we want to be on his team? Do we want to march with him? Israel or Jacob suffered greatly at the hand of Esau and Edom, but continued to trust God through it all. Do you feel as though you are being ignored and forgotten? That's how, I mean, Jacob, what did his brothers do to him? They even told their dad that he was dead. How did Jacob respond? We just studied it. He was positive. I got a life to live because I live for God. Do people rejoice when you have trouble or problems? His brothers did. Every time there was a problem, they rejoiced because it wasn't them. It was that dastardly brother that dad gave my heritage, inheritance. Does it seem that people gang up on you and hurt you with gossip? I asked it earlier. Do you ever have that happen to you? You just can't. Where did that come from? That little twist of the truth, or a little lie that just makes you look bad. Who knows the truth? I do. Who else? God. Why does it keep coming back to God? Because he's in control. The number one, God is in control. Obadiah's message is to stay true to God, Jesus. He will guide you and guard you. I remember that verse. And he will guard you from the hand of the wicked. Jesus, God, our Father, loves us. He knows everything that is going on. Evil against us will be destroyed. And we will know victory through him. I can tell you right now, if God said it out loud and we could hear it, God, what are you going to do with evil? I will bring it down. It will not last. Can you imagine living with no evil? That spectacular sunset, the glory of the skies at night, the beautiful trees, the snow-filled valleys, they're so spectacular. I love the song I can only imagine. Wow. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even conceive what I have in store for those that love me. Dwell on that. Dwell on it. And then praise God now. Praise God tomorrow. Praise God forever. Father, you have blessed us with an ability to trust you beyond compare, because you have filled us with your Spirit. Thank you for meeting all of our needs and so, so much more. Your words are full of protection for us if we do certain things. Let those that love the Lord hate evil, and you will guard us. God, just help us to be positive and always tell the message to people that life is good because of Jesus. Thank you for your love, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.